Amen, Brother Bell. Well, it's good to be home. Amen. Back among the living. Thank God for that. I was talking to, talking to Wendy on the way, I guess today on the way over, maybe it was yesterday, just about memories we had of being here. And some of you won't remember, but Brother Steve probably will, and a few other men, we were visiting. We wasn't members yet. We were just visiting. And we come up, and Brother Hall's preaching, and him and I got to shouting right over here in this aisle. And after the service, he got on the men. He said, "Shame on you, men." He said, "You let a visitor outdo you today." But we just rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. It wasn't long we had joined. And it wasn't long after that my wife had got saved over here. Same time your pastor's wife had got saved in that meeting years and years ago, 96. That's been a while back. We've gotten a little older, gotten a little bit grayer, but hopefully we've gotten a little wiser and grown in grace and knowledge of the Word of God. And that's not done overnight, but we do grow. Amen. I was looking forward. If I'd have known Steve would have been doing Sunday school, I'd try to get here a little earlier. Always a blessing. I've got notes in my old Bible when he taught Sunday school years and years and years ago. You got to watch. He might plagiarize a little bit. He might quote Spurgeon or something like that. You got to watch him. But we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want to deal with a subject found in 2 Samuel chapter 15 this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 15. One verse of scripture the Lord gave me the other day at family camp. We just finished up camp last week. And as I was coming back from swimming with the boys, they went one way, and I just said, I'm going to go up this way back to the camper. I'm just going to walk and just meditate. I didn't know if I'd preach during the week or not there. We have services every morning, and then we have service every night during the week. Normally I'll preach or we'll sing or something. And I said, I don't know, maybe what God had. I had a message, but God put this thought in my heart. I didn't really know where the verse was at, but the verse come to my mind, and I quoted it as I was going up this little hill to make it back to the camper. And I began to think about what David was going through at that time in his life, and the sorrow and the suffering that sin brings in our life. You'll never separate sin from sorrow. If we choose to live a life of sin, it is going to bring sorrow, and it will bring suffering to your life to some degree. You can't not have, they will be together. Mark it down. Sin and suffering, sin and sorrow, they go together hand in hand. But thank God there is joy found in serving the Lord. Amen. Now, I'd be honest, we'd have to admit today we probably all messed up along life's way being a child of God. We're not without sin. We're born in flesh. But we do have the choice to reject it. Sometimes we give in to it. The Bible said that David was a man after God's own heart. But David lived in a body of flesh like you and I. David was tempted in the same ways that you and I are tempted. He had a choice. We have choices. To say yes or to say no to the sin that is present in our life when we are tempted. David had his ups and downs. David had his difficulties. David had his problems. But nevertheless, the Bible does say he was a man after God's own heart. 2 Samuel chapter 15, one verse this morning. If you'll stand with me, if you found your place there. 2 Samuel 15, verse number 30. Here's the verse that came to my mind and my heart. The Bible says, "And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up. And he had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that were with him covered every man his head. And they went up, weeping as they went up. Boy, that is a sad verse. That if that's all we had, we wouldn't understand all that David's dealing with. But we have the complete Word of God, and we can see the beginning, the middle, and the ending to this story. God, help us this morning. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you today, thank you for grace. Thank you for saving grace. Thank you for sustaining grace. Thank you for grace that's good at every hour. Thank you for the love of God that shed His blood for us and cleanses us from all sin. Thank you that you loved us enough to die for us. I pray today, God, we'd honor you. Lord, we'd lift you up. You said if we'd lift you up, you'd draw all men to yourself. God, help us today. Hide us behind the cross. Lord, may we see Jesus. God, we'll thank you for it. Have your divine will and way. Thank you for these people in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You can be seated, all right. If we just took that verse of Scripture, we wouldn't understand the whole story. But this Scripture came to my mind. As David was fleeing from Absalom, can you imagine the sorrow having to flee? You're the king. You must leave the city. You must leave the throne because of a wayward son. Think about that for a minute. David loved Absalom, probably more than he loved any of his children. And I often wondered, why was David so overwhelmed with Absalom? Probably because he reminded him of himself. The Bible said he was of a beautiful countenance, a very fair man. The Bible said he had long hair. He'd pull his hair once a year. He'd weigh about 3 pounds. He was very prideful of himself. He took much of his beauty. But as we see David as he went up, the Bible said that he wept. The Bible said he went up barefoot with his head covered, and they wept as he left the city and crossed the Kindred, the valley there, the brook Kindred, and went up and wept as he was going. My, my. But the story don't start there. But I want to take you back to where the story starts and deal with a few things that you and I must be careful of in this walk of life that we live in. We're not exempt from sin. We're not exempt from suffering. And we're not exempt from sorrow. Amen. You and I could fall before daylight tomorrow if we're not careful and wreck our testimony, wreck our marriage, try to wreck the church and everything that God has done for us if we're not careful and guard ourselves. But you know the story. David stays home. As the kings go out to battle, he's there left to himself. The Bible said in chapter 11, he goes out upon the roof, if you will, and he sees a woman named Bathsheba. The Bible said that she was beautiful. She was a fair woman to look upon. And she was washing herself. And she was very beautiful. And David had a choice. Do I turn away? Or do I yet just linger just for a minute? His wandering eyes will become wanting eyes. And then his wanting eyes are going to become weeping eyes. And I've often asked myself, as if I was talking to David, and I would say, David, was it worth it? And he'd have to say no. But at the time, we don't think of the consequences. We just think of the sin and the pleasures of that sin. But my friend, Galatians 6:7 is still in the Bible. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. My grandma used to say, chickens come home to roost. And they do. But David yielded to the lust of his flesh. And maybe thought that would be the end of it. Maybe I can cover it up. Nobody will ever know what has transpired. I'm the king. I can deal with it. Bathsheba says, David, I'm a child. You know what's a sad thing, Brother Hall? It's really sometimes not the mess up that gets us in trouble. But it's the cover-up is what gets us in trouble. David didn't try to uncover it. David didn't try to confess it or make it right. The difficulty with David was he tried to cover the sin up. God's not going to let us cover it up. God will always uncover it. David said, I'll tell you what I'll do. Go fetch Uriah, her husband. Here's what I'll do. I'll let him stay at the king's court today. Nighttime, we'll have a big feast and I'll send him home. He'll go home to his wife. Nobody will ever know the difference of what I've done. But Uriah was more godly than King David. And Uriah went not down to his house that night. You know the story. When the servants of David told him that he didn't go down, he said, why didn't you go down to your house and wash your feet and be with your wife? And he said, how can I? My Lord Joab and the tribes are in the field. I'm not going to stay out there. So David said, stay with me one more day. Tomorrow I'll let you go. David's thinking in his heart, I've got to cover this up. This cannot get out. So they ate and he got him drunk and said, go down to your house. But Uriah wouldn't go. Did not go. David's got a difficulty, and that's the message. The difficulties of David. He's got a decision. How in the world am I going to cover this up? So he wrote a letter and said, Uriah, give this to Joab. And as Uriah went back to the battle, he had his own death warrant in his hand. And it said, put Uriah in the hottest part of the battle and retire ye from him that he might be smitten and die. Does that sound like a man that's after God's own heart? Not at that time. See what sin does? If we don't deal with our sin, we try to cover it up, but God won't let us cover it up. So he sent him out to the battle. Yes, Uriah was killed. Yes, word come back to the king and said, some of thy servants have been slain, and Uriah the Hittite is dead. And David said within himself, surely the thing is hid. Nobody will ever know what I'd done. My friend, God knew. And it didn't take long for God to uncover all that mess. And that was a mess. It went from adultery to lying to murder in a short amount of time. Just to cover up that sin. We go to great lengths to cover something up. But we can never remember the last lie we told. God always makes sure that it gets uncovered. So what happened? So now David takes the wife of Uriah. And the Bible always refers to her as the wife of Uriah. David takes the wife of Uriah to himself. But the Bible said in the last part of that chapter 11, said, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Well, it's hid. Nobody knows. Now she's my wife. We're having a baby. Nobody will ever know. Nobody will figure that out. But there was a man sent from God whose name was Nathan. Nathan came to David, and you know the story. And he gave him a parable and talked for a little while and talked about this little lamb and the rich man and the poor man. And David was furious, and David said, that man will surely die. And Nathan said, David, thou art the man. It's you that I'm talking about. It's you that I'm talking to. You're the one that did this evil thing. Here's what he said. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Now we'd think, well, it's over. God knows. I'll repent. It'll be due. That wasn't how it went at all. Here's what he said. Now, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. And I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the son. What about that? David said, surely it's over, it's done, it's hid, nobody knows. The man of God came and said, I've got a message from the Lord. David, you are the man. David did repent, and the Bible said that a sin was put away and he would not die. But the baby would die because it'd be a reproach to Israel and to the enemies of Israel. And so the baby died. But that it wasn't over. Remember that principle in Galatians 6:7? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. When do you reap? You reap before. Sometimes you reap during. But most times you reap when? After. How much do you reap after? You reap more than when you sowed, right? Reaping's always more. Reaping's always later. God's payday ain't always on Friday. Amen. But we know payday is coming because God is just. If we don't deal with our sin, God surely will deal with our sin. There's times He shows mercy and gives us a space to repent and thank God for that. But just because we repent doesn't mean it's all over. It's still reaping time. And thank God sometimes God forgives and forgets and it's over. But in this case, it's not over. The man of God said, this is so severe what you have done. This was so wicked what you had done, and it displeased the Lord, that He said, the sword will not depart from your house. Boy, David's got some difficult days ahead. There's difficult times coming to David just because of the sin of Bathsheba. Amen. I wrote down, what does it mean to have difficulties? It's the state of anything which renders its performance laborious or perplexing. Can I say his life was filled with difficulties because of this sin? Proverbs 13:15 says this, remember this, the way of a transgressor is easy? No. It says the way of a transgressor is hard. You ever ask yourself, why are things so hard? Might just be you're a transgressor. Could be. Not always the case. But it could be. We need to stop and ask ourselves, why is this so difficult? Am I right with God? Or am I in sin? The way of a transgressor is hard. So we see that David had difficulties with sin. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we first practice to deceive. Amen. Bad decisions. He started sowing some things. Adultery, deceit, and murder. Bad consequences, he had to reap it. Judgment is pronounced. The baby dies, but it goes on. Remember the next story? He had a son named Amnon. Remember what happened there? Amnon had a fair sister that he was in love with. It was his stepsister. Nevertheless, he was in love with Tamar. And he said, there's got to be some way I can get Tamar. Well, he had a cousin. And cousins ain't always the best people to hang around if they're wicked. But he had a cousin that said this, if you will do this and listen to my instruction, I'll tell you how you can get Tamar. And he did. So he acted like he was sick. And the king said, what's wrong with you, Amnon? He said, I'm sick. Will you send Tamar to feed me and take care of me while I'm sick? I'm paraphrasing. And he did that. Tamar came and fixed cakes for him. And he said, put all the men out and have you come into my bedchamber and feed me at thy hand. And that's exactly what happened. What did he say to her? He grabbed her and he said, come lie with me, my sister. And she said, no, I'm not doing that. But he, being stronger, the Bible said, forced her. Then the Bible said this. He hated her exceedingly, that his hatred was far more for her than the love that he had for her. Still reaping. David's still reaping. My goodness, can you imagine that word coming to your ear that this happened in your family? We've got worse than that we deal with now. In today's society, it's worse than that. But can you imagine the word coming to David and saying, David, Amnon has defiled Tamar? And David, the Bible said that David was exceedingly angry. But you never read that David dealt with it. Never. The Bible doesn't say that he dealt with Amnon. Doesn't say that he dealt with Tamar to get her through that. The Bible said that Tamar went back to Absalom's house. Now Absalom's going to deal with it. 2 years have passed. 2 years. And Absalom says, I'm shearing sheep. David, will you let all the sons go with me? David said, why do all the sons need to go? We can't be accountable unto you, me and all the sons. Well, let Amnon go. He pressed him and he let Amnon go with him, David's other son, the one that defiled Tamar. And they get to where they're shearing the sheep, and the Bible said that Amnon said, you mark his heart, when he is merry with wine, smite him. 2 years have passed. David gets word that all of his sons are dead. That's what the Bible said. He got word all of his sons are dead. And somebody said, no, don't let it grieve the king. Not all your sons are dead. Just Amnon only. Absalom killed him. And he left. That's a difficult time. Difficulties of David. It doesn't stop there. Absalom left, went away. Finally, after several years, they brought him back. Now, something else is going to transpire. We're going to read that after 40 years of Absalom undermining the king, undermining his authority, and the way he was acting toward these men to win their love. Sound like a Baptist church, don't it? Smooth talker. Boy, if I was the pastor, you better shut that down quick. Well, if I was the deacon, well, we're glad you ain't. If I was in authority, then you're not. So shut up. But see what happens? They'll come in and they'll line up with somebody. They drop little words, little hints to feel you out, to see where you stand with the man of God. And they'll find out pretty quick whether you're with the man of God or not. And they sow seeds of discord, which the Bible said that God hates. These six things God hates, yea, seven is an abomination unto him. So in discord. And he did that, the Bible says, for 40 years. And he won the hearts of the men. David had no idea. Here's what he said. Oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any issue or cause might come unto me, I would do him justice. You know what he's saying? Brother Steve, here's what he's saying. I'm not like my daddy. That's what he's saying. He's saying more in what he's not saying than what he's saying. I would do you justice. I will take care of you. Boy, if I was made a judge, you'd have it made. I understand exactly where you're at. That's what he's saying. Sounds good, doesn't it? And he did that for 40 years, the Bible says, in verse 7 of chapter 15. The whole time, the deceiver is not in any hurry to do the work that he wants to do. Mark that down. Men that deceive and have an agenda are not in a hurry. Slowly, steadily, slowly, inching their way toward that desire. He wasn't satisfied with being in the king's court. No, he wanted to be the king. Difficulties of David. Here it comes. Now, Absalom all of a sudden, after 40 years, we might say, that he is going to take the throne from his daddy. And he's going to rule the land. He's got conspirators that are with him. Men that are spies that went unaware and going to announce that Absalom reigns. He's going to take the throne from his daddy. Can you imagine? Can you imagine trying to rear up against the man of God and trying to rise up against the man of God? How foolish that is. And how deadly that can be in those consequences. Absalom don't care. He just wants what he wants. He wants the throne. He's going to get it just for a short time. So we see that he does take the throne. And we see that David left in verse 23 of chapter 15. The Bible said that all the country wept with a loud voice. And all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron. And all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. Man, what a tragedy. All because of sin. I've heard people say this, well, my sin's not that bad. Your sin is that bad. And they say, my sin's not hurting anybody but myself. That's a lie. It hurts everybody around you. So you're not just hurting yourself, you hurt others with you. Absalom's going to take the throne. Here's what he does. David flees. There's difficulty in separation. I said this a while ago, sin always divides. It never heals. It never unites, but it always divides. Think about this. In a home, in a marriage, when one is unfaithful, that husband or that wife, that divides. That causes problem. That causes hurt. That causes sorrow. That causes shame. That causes suffering. That sin didn't do what we said it would do. Oh, pleasure. It makes me feel good. It's wonderful. No, no. It's separating. It divides. It's horrible. It's sorrowful. Sin separates. Now David is separated from his country. He's separated from his kingdom. He's separated from his family. And he's separated from the presence of God. They brought the ark with them. And David said, take the ark back. If I find grace and mercy, I'll see it again. And I'll see his habitation. Take the ark back. So there's difficulties with separation. Sin has stripped him of almost everything. You hear the preacher well this morning. Sin has stripped him of almost everything. What does he have left? His children are against him. He has a daughter that's defiled and in mourning. He has a son that is dead. He has a son that has rebelled against him. What does he have left? The ark is taken back. Was it worth it, David? Really? Was it worth it? That's the question. Difficulties in the separation. Sin separates and took almost everything. I said this, sin will bring tears. Sin will bring separation. Sin brings sorrow. And sin brings shame. The country wept. David wept. And as we see the difficulties of separation in verse number 30, as I read in your hearing a while ago, the Bible said that David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up. I think he wept for several reasons. Number one, I think he wept over his son. I think he wept because of the shame that he felt. I think he wept because of the sorrow that he was going through. But I think he wept most of all because of the Ark of the Covenant. Dealing with being a picture of Brother Steve, the type and picture of the presence of God in his life. That the Ark was taken back. Imagine that. Let me ask you this. Think about this just for a minute. Is your sin, is my sin, is our sin worth the presence of God being removed from our life? Think about that. Think about that. You can't have both. We can't have sin and have the presence of God. It's got to be one or the other. Even as a child of God, we must walk circumspectly in this life and guard our tongues, guard our hands, guard our feet, and guard our eyes, guard our ears. Is that right? Amen. And still sometimes we fail. But we have to walk circumspectly and guard ourselves. We desire the presence of God in our life. We desire the presence of God in the house of God. Can you imagine the man of God living a double life? That happens. We hear about it every day. Church members living a double life, it comes out, and we're so weak, overwhelmed, we can't believe that that was them and that's what they were doing and partaking of. But it happens. But you and I, we need the presence of God. We need the breath of God. Amen. We need God's presence in our home. Amen. We need God's presence. I'm talking about in our house. Our husbands and wives and our children need to see and experience and feel the presence of God at home. Sin will stop it. Sin will destroy it. Sin will corrupt it. The Bible said about having corrupt manners, that sin will cause you to have corrupt manners. Here's what I want to deal with in this verse. Boy, this thought gripped my heart, and I wept as I was walking back to the camper as I thought about David weeping over what he had lost. It wasn't worth it. But he lost it all. Just about everything was gone. Here's what took place. The Bible said that he went up. He wept as he went up. He had his head covered. He went up barefoot. And all the people that were with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. They're in great mourning. They're in great distress. They're in great difficulty right now. Everything's messed up. Nothing's going right. Sin has destroyed this home. And he's weeping and he's mourning and his head's covered in shame and the reproach that's upon him because he chose to have Bathsheba. Will you weigh it out? Bathsheba, your children. Bathsheba, your kingdom. Bathsheba, and all that's on the other side, it's not worth it. He had some difficult times, had some difficult days by a decision that he made. One decision. And look what it did. Thank God there's grace. Thank God we can repent. Thank God we can recover. We may not gain all the ground we lost, but we can repent. And we can get restored. And thank God for that. I come to mind, I think about where the verse says, in wrath, remember mercy. Even though God's hand was against David and all that he had done, and he would fulfill what he said that he would do, and that the sword would not depart his house, thank God there was still mercy to be found. And thank God for it. Difficult days for David. But I want you to know something else in that verse just below it, verse 31. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. Who is Ahithophel? Remember him? You know who he is? I know he's the counselor. He's the one that spoke as if the very oracles of God was on him. But he's somebody else in this picture as well. That's Bathsheba's grandpa. That's Bathsheba's granddaddy. Sometimes when difficult times break out, you'll find out whose side they're really on. I'm not saying David was right. David was wrong. But Ahithophel was just as wrong. And if it had been up to Ahithophel and they'd listened to his counsel, David would have died in less than a day. Because his counsel was take 12,000 men and pursue him and kill him only and bring the men back. That was what his counsel was. And God turned it into naught and it didn't happen. Well, Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather. A lot goes on. Now, I said in wrath, remember mercy, verse 32, and it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount, listen to this, where he worshiped God. That's all he's got left. That's all he's got left. He's been stripped of everything because of sin. God forgave him. Yes, he's forgiven, but he's still reaping what he had sowed. When he gets to the top of that mount, the Bible said as he's at the top of Mount Olivet, he worshiped God. Anybody know what he did while he was up there? Brother Jonathan, you know what he did while he was up there? Brother Bell, what did he do when he was up there? You know what he did? You know. You just can't remember just yet. Psalm chapter 3. Turn there real quick. Psalm chapter 3. David got to the top of Mount Olivet. The Bible said that he worshiped God. What did he do? Wrote a psalm. Here's what he said. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Selah. He said, I'm going to stop and meditate on that just for a moment. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cry unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I'm going to stop and meditate on that just for a minute. I laid me down and slept. I'll wake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth on the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. He's in the midst of a storm. He's lost everything. But what's he do? When he gets to the top, he worships God and pins down the third psalm. It's been a help to you and I through the days. The years have gone by. How many times have we read that psalm? David could have went on and neglected that, but he stopped and pinned it down and said, oh Lord, I'm going to stop here and worship just for a little bit. I'm glad that when we fail God, that's not the end. Failure is not final. We can stop and repent. God forgives. We pick up the pieces and march on. No time to quit. We've all fallen, some worse than others. But we don't kick each other when we're down. We encourage one another. And sometimes we understand because we've been there as well. And we encourage one another in the Lord. I know where you're at now is a difficult time. I know that you're discouraged. I know that you're sinned. But thank God you can get right and get up and get going. It's not too late. I want to be an encourager. There's a lot of discouragers. A lot of negative people. You know, some people are just looking for you to fall. And they rejoice in it when you do fall. But thank God there are some that will come alongside of you and lift you up and say, just because you're down, you don't have to stay down. If a righteous man falls, he'll get up seven times. So difficulties in the song. David pinned down a psalm that has helped multitudes of people that have read that Psalm chapter 3. And he wrote it when he got to the top of the hill, Mount Olivet. And he pinned that down. And most of the psalms were penned because of a heart of sorrow and suffering that he went through. Let's move on. He worshiped God, chapter 16, verse 1. The Bible said when David was a little past the top of the hill, when he got to the place that he was past, a little past the top of the hill. And we know what happened. And we read the story there and how Ziba came. He's under a pretense. He's a liar is what he is. He's going to come and tell a story that he might get all of Mephibosheth's land. That's what he wants. He's tired of being the slave. He wants to be the master. He don't want to be the servant. He wants to be the one that owns it all. He come to David under a pretense, but listen, God still took what he done and turned that into a blessing to David. Here's what it said. He went past, a little past the top of the hill. Behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled. You better think about that just for a minute. During this difficult time, even the grace of God has been manifested to David by Ziba. In his deceitfulness, God turned that into a blessing. Here's what that means. He had a couple of asses saddled. That's grace to make it the rest of the way. Hello? Grace to make it the rest of the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, just because you messed up don't mean everybody's against you. God dealt with your sin. God judged your sin. God forgave your sin. But thank God there is mercy to be found. And grace to make it the rest of the way. I don't know where those notes are. Here they are. Couldn't find them. But he went on to say this. And upon them 200 loaves of bread. What is bread a type of? Word of God. Not only did he have grace to make it the rest of the way, he had that bread that was a type of the Word of God to sustain him. Amen. That psalm he just wrote, that was wrote out of a heart of desperation, of brokenness and sorrow. There'll be many days he'll go back and read that again. That Word of God, that'll sustain him. Right. Amen. Amen. That Word of God will sustain you and I. Paul said in his last days, in his last moments, in his last hours, he said, bring me what? The parchments. Amen. And that was the Word of God. Paul's getting ready to leave. He didn't need the Word of God. He's getting ready to meet the Lord. But he said, I want the parchments. Bring them to me. And the cloak I left. And the parchments. But especially the books. Right. Bring them to me. Right. That'll sustain me. That'll help me. How many times have you got in a difficult spot, Brother Steve, and your heart was ripped out, and you opened the Word of God, and God gave you something that's just like He just gave it just to you. Just like He had just written it down and give it to you. What Psalm 16:11 say? Thou wilt show me the paths of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Well, that'll help a wayfaring man. That'll help a stranger when he reads that. That'll help a saved man when he's having a hard time. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. Thank God we can make it through a difficult time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for His Word. His Word that sustained him. And then he said, I have 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits. And that brings sweetness on the journey. Amen. When the journey gets tough, thank God there are some sweet times on the journey. Now, you don't know before I came here all the sorrows we dealt with before we got here. Years and years ago. But we had some difficult days and we needed a body to help us make it through. You're not an island. You're not going to make it by yourself. You need the body of Christ. The body of Christ needs you. But we needed a body. Thank God for that. And we had a body. And God put us in this body for a little while. Remember Miss Hall, when we first met, probably one of the first times we met, we went to eat. And Joanna wasn't this big. And she jumped down and we thought, what is she doing? Where's she going? She went around to Miss Hall. For whatever reason, she told Miss Hall, she said, Miss Hall, we live in an ugly house. That'll make you feel real good. Thank you, Joanna. Come sit back down. That's what she said. We live in an ugly house. I don't know why she said it. It was true. It was ugly. It was true. But why she said it, I have no idea. Maybe she wanted Miss Hall to know how ugly the house was. I'm talking about difficult days. Dark days. Many tears. Much sorrow. And sometimes we hide it. And don't want to tell everything that's going on. Some people tell everything. Sometimes they don't. But you don't know when they walk through that door how far down they are. You might need to give them some summer fruit, some raisins, that'll give them a little joy along the way. They may need something to pick them up, a kind word, encouraging word. Difficult days for David. But anyway, he got the raisin and the summer fruit. And then the Bible said, and a bottle of wine. And that was joy for the journey. Thank God we have joy on the journey. When we stayed here, we lived in that little house over on Spring Lake Street. It wasn't big as a minute. It was a cracker box, but that's where we were. And I remember going through some difficult times. And I remember I was weeping and crying over the situation that I was in. But at the same time, God gave a song. So I'm singing the song in my heart and rejoicing over that, and tears of joy and tears of sorrow at the same time. And I can't explain that. But I'm glad there is joy for the journey. There are hard times. Listen, you young people, you don't know yet. You haven't experienced what mom and dad and grandma and grandpa have experienced. But if you live long enough, you will. And you better make sure you have a relationship with that book. And a relationship with the man of God. That is what will see you through when nothing else will. The relationship you have with your Bible. And if you don't read it, you're not going to make it. And the reason why you won't read it is because it reads you. And you don't want it to read you. But I'm glad even in difficult days, in the case of David, there's grace to carry him the rest of the way. There's the Word of God that will sustain him. There's sweetness on the journey. And there's joy in times of sorrow. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Doug, you come, all right? Amen. Thank you so much.